Gail Frederick and I looked at the weather radar a while ago, and looks good to me, doesn't you, Gail? Yeah. So we're not going to have a tornado here in the next few minutes, so we're good. Huh? Yeah, St. Louis had a lot of deaths. Oh, it was way back in the early 80s. A brother in Christ down in Lafayette, Louisiana, when I was working there, he shared with me something that I've never forgotten. He said that one of the most important things we can do as a congregation and as individual Christians is to live according to Hebrews 3:13. And that's what this is what that verse says. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. I have really good news this evening. This lesson is not going to be very long. Please hold your applause. But if you apply this lesson to your life, it will never, ever be forgotten. And it will transform our church family radically. Let's see, how many we got here tonight? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. If all 13 of us apply this to our lives, it will transform our church family radically into the kind of loving congregation. We have a loving congregation, but even more so, into one that will be pleasing to God without exception. Now, I have no intention of browbeating you, so if I browbeat you, I'm going to have to browbeat me. I don't want you leaving here feeling overwhelmed with guilt and shame. I want to encourage you, exhort you today to be an exhorter of others daily. Because congregations are always in need, sometimes in desperate need, of exhorters who are exhorting others daily. Now, the truth is, in most congregations, and I'm sure here as well, we don't do that as well as we should in many instances. Now, the exceptions are when we have close friends that have problems, we spring into action and we help them, we ask for prayers for them, we reach out to meet their needs. But here's what's missing. Those who are spiritually weak and maybe just barely hanging on by a thread, who drift away so quietly, sometimes it's weeks or even months before they're missed. And obviously that's unacceptable, right? In all our minds, that's unacceptable. And so one of my goals tonight is for all 13 of us to be motivated to go all in on Hebrews 3:13. The word but at the end of this, at the beginning of this verse, points to a contrast. The first word of verse 13, but, looks back to what has just been said previously. And here's what's been said, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Those Jews who had become Christians, that was the audience of the book of Hebrews, they were being persecuted. Chapter 10, verse 32. But recall the former days, in which after you were illuminated. That's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? after you were illuminated, Hebrews 10:32, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Well, that phrase right there is amazing. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And so they're being publicly shamed, and they were losing what they owned. I had a guy recently tell me he had his truck stolen at night by an escaped prisoner over by Manos. And he said, they better be glad I wasn't home when they got it. Because he said, I had thieves come in once and they just wiped me out. He said, it's taken years to get it back. And I'm thinking, I don't have anything material that I would kill somebody over. But even more, these Christians, that's what it says, joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. Only because they believed in Christ. But the key is they endured it. They never lost hope. But others were losing faith and hope and departing from God. And so the question is, what can we do to help others who are struggling with their faith? Well, we must exhort one another daily while it is called today. It's not just the elders. We don't have elders here. It's all our responsibility. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. It's all our responsibility. It's our loving reaction that we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The word exhort points to what we do. The original Greek word that's translated into English, exhort, as in, but exhort one another, that's used 109 times in the New Testament. There's a lot said about exhorting. And it can mean all different kinds of things. It's not always translated with the English word exhort. It can mean encourage, admonish, teach, help, beg, entreat, beseech someone. It's used that way. Or to console someone or to comfort someone, help someone. It has the same root of the word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit as Jesus was preparing his apostles for his death. Just before they went to the garden in John 14:26 and 15:26 and 16:13, he talked about the Comforter. The root is the same word. Of course, he was talking about the Holy Spirit being a Comforter. It literally means, and I love this, coming to the side of. And so properly understood, we are to reflect the character of Christ as we come to the side of others to encourage them. In other words, you can't become Christ-like until you exhort or come to the side of those in need of encouragement. Here's what the word picture of that looks like. Hebrews 12:12. I don't know of a better place in Scripture that paints the word picture of what coming to the side of means. He says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. So you're beside him and you're lifting up their hands. And the feeble knees, you're supporting their weight. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And so you're guiding them down a path when they are so weak and so fatigued they can't make it without you. Bottom line if you go through a week without exhorting someone. And if you're a school teacher, you're exhorting kids all the time, right? If you go through a week without encouraging someone or coming to the side of someone, the Bible's telling us tonight, hey, Danny, you need to refocus your priorities. Right? We all need to refocus. We're talking about eternity. It'll be the difference in others not having an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God as we come to the side of them to help them. The words one another in this passage point to who we exhort. Of course, we come to the side of one another. God never intended anyone to live the Christian life in isolation because He created us this way. He knows that we need one another. And that means we need, obviously, to minister to others, but while at the same time, we need to be ministered to. This idea of togetherness was vital for those early first century Christians. We fool ourselves when we think that, hey, I can just do this on my own. Obviously, a lot of folks believe that. None of them that believe that are here tonight. You believe that we need one another. But not everybody believes that, and they will even tell you that they don't need to go to church or they don't need to be a part of a congregation to be a faithful Christian. They'll just do it on their own. Notice how the Hebrew author dealt with that line of thinking. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another. And by the way, this is part of a little lettuce patch. I'll let you read even earlier. But he says, let us. But verse 24, let us consider one another. In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? This doesn't just apply to the church service, right? It applies to more than that. We need to be together. And so, hey, I'm so excited. For the first time since I've been here, we're going to go to a member's house and just have a big old fellowship and eat incredibly healthy food. But we all ought to get to have some ice cream occasionally. We have to consider one another. And the purpose is, hey, I want to stir others up with love for good works. And so we need to assemble. We need to exhort one another. That's God's plan. That's at the heart of the word one another. The word daily points to how often we exhort. It gives us the frequency of this task. Daily. Exhort one another daily. And God's plan is clear about how often we should interact and exhort one another. Not once in a while or on Sunday morning during the worship. It's not to be done, you know, when I can. Have you ever asked somebody if they could do something? They say, well, if I can. I don't know what a if I can is, do y'all? If I can. It's not when I feel like it. Daily. Use every opportunity you have to do it daily. Of course, our culture is much different than one in which those Christians lived in the first century. When you exhorted someone back then, you were looking them in the eye. I mean, you were giving them a hug or a handshake or, you know, a holy kiss. Today, we have so many ways to communicate with one another. Telephones have drastically changed our culture and our lives. Maybe at times for the bad, but also for the good. It's so easy to exhort one another daily. And so you can call, or you can send a text message. How about that? That's such a wonderful tool. You ever call somebody and they didn't answer, but you knew they were hearing the phone, but they were busy. Maybe they're on another phone call, but they can read that text. Well, we can FaceTime one another, and that can be scary. We can FaceTime one another and look each other in the eye with a smartphone. Sometimes I do that to my sister just, you know, because of honoriness. We can call one another and pray with one another on the telephone. And then we don't have to, you know, saddle up a horse or put our walking shoes on. We get into our climate controlled vehicles. I mean, my pickup is 02. It's 23 years old and the air conditioner works great. And the heater works great. And we can be there not in hours, but in minutes. In other words, you know, God must be looking at us and say, look, guys, you have no excuses for failing to exhort one another daily. The word today, of course, points to the urgency of this. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. That introduces a sense of urgency. In other words, the opportunities to exhort and come to the side of someone who is struggling, that's not going to last forever. The longer you live, the more you understand that, right? They may be gone. You ever went to visit someone and they moved? You ever come home from school and your parents moved? Or they pass on to their forever. Has anyone here ever thought, I'm going to do that tomorrow? Yes, we all do that. And I mean, sometimes we have to. The fact is, I'm learning that we all live in denial of the reality about tomorrow. Had a man recently say, hey, it's just a vapor. Tomorrow's just a vapor. And so we say it, but do we really accept that tomorrow is absolutely not guaranteed? What would happen if we learned that an asteroid, our phones, you know, our smartphones go off and said tornadoes coming, but what if they went off and said, an asteroid is about to hit Marshall County and it will destroy everything within 100 miles of every direction. And it's going to hit in 20 minutes. What would your first thought be? Some people would panic and try to get something done. I think my sister Linda would want to clean a closet or something, you know. I need to do this. I need to take care of this. I should have done that a long time ago. Procrastination is our enemy. Sometimes it's one of Satan's tools to stop us from exhorting one another while it is called today. The last phrase in this verse explains why this is so urgent. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And of course, verse 12 describes why the author wrote verse 13. Beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Evil hearts of unbelief always begin with the hardening of sin. Faith never grows when we succumb to temptations. We know that. That's why you're here tonight, right? You want to be strong. You want to walk in the light. You want to spiritually grow. Satan's so innovative in finding new ways to tempt us. He's doing everything in his power. He's chained. He's only able to do so much. If he was unchanged, we'd all go to eternal hell. He would remove any chance, any hope, if he had his will. He'll try anything to harden our hearts. All the while, God's given us all these wonderful tools so that we can grow in discernment spiritually. It's possible, or is it possible, that we are snared by Satan because we don't see temptations for what they are? Of course, that's part of maturing, and that's part of becoming wiser. And it's another reason that God has given the church leaders. But in one sense, we are all leaders for someone, right? We're all leaders for someone. That's why he's commanded us to daily exhort one another. And so this is my prayer for this congregation, that we accept this responsibility and that we just become sensitive to meeting others' needs. Now, let me explain something. When I send out group text messages, I can only send out 10 names in a group. So I have 5 groups. They don't all have 10 in them. And so when you reply to, like, I put something out about David this morning. If you reply to that text and David's not in your little group, he won't see that. So you have to text him directly. Okay? And sometimes I'll take those texts and I'll send them to David directly. But when you see those needs and you have their phone, text them or call them. Call them up and pray with them. Encourage them. That's what we're talking about tonight. Practical ways to leave no doubt. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm coming to your side to help you. It's vital to our well-being as a congregation and individually. That was my message. If you need to come, please come now. Always stand and sing.